Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Dirty 30 Diary. I'm Dirty D, and this is episode 9. Just a recap of the last episode, episode 8. It was Not So Thanksgiving. I basically talked about a lot of, you know, things that we go through when it comes to, like, to the holidays in regards to our families. Also, with, you know, not everyone has good experiences, not everyone has bad experiences, but they do change as you get older. At least I know for me and most of my friends, people pass away, relationships are broken, etc., etc. So we chatted about that, and just so that we're clear, the main reason why I wanted to do this podcast originally started off as a book. So the book was basically my take on what it's like entering your 30s after living a not so normal life. So for a lot of people, 30s, as I mentioned pretty much every episode, is a time for, you know, doing all the things that, you know, you do. I feel like 30 is always, you're always seen as just like a real adult. Like, up until then, people will constantly tell you, they're like, oh, you're young, you don't understand this. So shit just kind of gets real in your 30s, at least for me, most of the people I know. So basically, this podcast was pretty much, it wasn't a podcast, it was a book. And I went into it just going through, like, just the events that happened in my life leading up to my 30s. And, like, I had been through a lot of shit. And a lot of times we go through things, and some things are traumatic, some things are life-changing, and we kind of downplay it. And we make it seem like it's normal and we don't heal properly from things that happen. And then also, we kind of keep it inside and we don't really share some of the things that we probably should share with someone, a therapist, adult, someone, and a friend or whoever. And we don't do that. We pretty much keep it to ourselves because we're afraid of being judged, and we hold on to the shame of all the things that have happened in our lives because we just, you know, we're kind of raised to, you know, in like a shame on you kind of upbringing. So what I've realized for me is that I've covered up a lot of the traumatic experiences in my life because I, you know, carried that shame with me. So I didn't want people to know certain things. And I was pretty open and honest with certain people, but only to a certain extent. I would, like, piecemeal people, which is basically, like, you know, telling someone part of the story that I would want to tell them, the part that I'm not ashamed of. So, for example, if I told someone, you know, I used to get money or I used to hustle, you might not tell them exactly what your hustle was, because then that's where the different parts of your story is where potential shameful experiences could, you know, lie, or ways of looking at it. So the Dirty 30 Diary is basically my way of airing my own dirty laundry, because guess what? If I tell you my story and I'm honest with you, there's pretty much not shit that you could say about me behind my back. I mean, you could have your opinions about it, but once I tell you what I've been through, and if I share certain things with you and I put it out in the open, you no longer have, like, that power over me. As long as it's a secret, you can be ashamed about it. So I'm learning and growing. Not everything, I don't, you know, go around telling everybody, like, hey, I used to be a prostitute, hey, I used to do this, hey, I used to do that. But I definitely I have a transparency about me that I've learned to appreciate, and I've learned to open up more, because you'll be surprised at how much we all have in common, or how many similar experiences, and including trauma and different things like that that happen, that we share with each other. So basically, I wanted to make a platform for, you know, just people from different walks of life who can air out their own dirty laundry, get the power back instead of feeling like you should be ashamed of it, just basically owning your truth and just telling people your story and not being afraid to share your story with others. So by me coming clean about my stuff, then hopefully I'm helping someone else learn to embrace their truth and come clean in their own way. This podcast was not something that was in my plan, but definitely the idea of it was. I was constantly being told by different people, like, for example, I would do like a positive post on Facebook and someone would like send me a message like, oh, I saw a very unflattering picture of you on like Pornhub or something. Or they'll say like, oh, well, I saw a mugshot of yours on such and such site. And I'm just like, okay. Like, I just notice how people will try to tell you about yourself because they think that you don't already, apparently they think that you don't already know the shit, but they'll tell you about yourself because they think that it's going to bring shame to you in some way. Whether or not they want to admit it, like, telling, I could see a few people who would possibly say like, oh, you know, just so you know, there's this out. But at this point in my life, most of the people that know me and have been following me for years know that I've been through a lot of shit. I have a very colorful past, as I like to say, and it involves a little bit of everything. Some drugs, some prostitution, some jail time, like a little bit of everything. So if I put it all out there, and everybody knows it's like writing a book. If you have a tell-all book, that's like somebody reading your tell-all and then coming back and telling you, oh, I heard that you were, like, I said that. So you no longer have that over me. So this is my personal journey, and I am hoping that other people that have similar or, you know, similar experiences or have things that they've been holding in because they've have a fear of being judged or ashamed, that they just own it and don't give people that power, because that's exactly what you're doing. So with all that being said, I pretty much have been going down the list of things, you know, that would normally bring shame to me. I've talked about cheating. I've talked about, you know, some of my relationships and some poor choices that I've made. One of those situations, or one of example of something that I, the average person would see as shameful or maybe not disclose, is the fact that I've been to jail. So I think I was just talking to someone about this earlier, and I'm not really sure how many times I've actually been arrested, to be honest. In the life of prostitution, unfortunately, they do not, I mean, the charge is like a slap on the wrist, and they will literally pick you up as many times as they can, or as many times that they're doing these stings and whatnot. So I've actually never been like picked up off the street or anything. But interestingly enough, when I would be on the internet and doing that kind of stuff, like those posts or whatever, when, you know, back when Backpage was an actual thing, and a lot of women like to act like they don't know what Backpage is, but girl, you know what it is. So you done posted an ad or two, but just, you know, own it. So pretty much, for those who don't know, who honestly don't know, Backpage was one of several sites. There was like Eros. There was, I think Eros is the only one that still exists. Who else? Redbook. Some used to use Craigslist. It's, you know, all what, you know, they, for me, I think that honestly, the same type of people are on all the sites, because I've met people who, I've seen people and dated people who have dated like women who I would assume are only on certain types of sites. And that's just, I mean, it just is what it is. I've seen, I've heard of, I don't think I've ever had one, but I've seen, like, you know, men pick up girls off the street that also pick up girls off the internet. So to each his own. So I was arrested like typically during stings. So like, for example, I would take a call for a date, and the date would come to my room, and the date would actually be undercover. They bust in your room, they look through your shit, they pretend to be a date, all that. Oh, this person, or I forgot who used to tell me, like, oh, if they can't touch you, or you, they won't let you touch them if they're a cop or whatever. This is bullshit. Anyway, so it's pretty much, they would come into your room, usually like go through all your shit, and you would go to jail. Certain places they just side choose, other places they take you, arrest you, and then you gotta wait to get out. So I, to be honest, as far as the actual arrest, I mean, I would maybe pick a lucky number 7. I really don't know. I couldn't tell you. As far as, so I pretty much, that's the only thing I've been arrested for, aside from a battery charge that I had because I got in a fight with a stranger. Had I known the person, I'm assuming nobody would have called the police, but because I didn't know her, that's what happened. And that was a few years ago. So I actually just got that cleared up this year. That was on my to-do list. Yay. So that was on my to-do list that I didn't want to go into 2019 with any of the legal bullshit or baggage following me or hindering me. I have a couple of open cases that are in like Nashville and Hawaii. So if you see me on Instagram saying that I'm going there, that's what I'm going for. So, besides that, battery charge, let's see, battery charge and prostitution solicitation. And also, okay. So the very last case that I was not arrested for, but I was in jail for, originated in 2010. I was in Miami for Super Bowl, I think 2010. I'm pretty sure it was 2010. Yeah, I think it was 2010. And I was out there. I said that the King of Diamonds had just opened. I said that I wanted to dance there because I've been to the Queen of Diamonds on numerous occasions as a patron. And they used to just make a lot of money. Like, this is back, I don't know how they do it now, but this is back when Lil Wayne was in the club and he would make it drizzle, he would make it thunderstorm, and all, like, any possible celebrity that was popping at the time you could think of was in the strip clubs. Like, this is when Atlanta was hot. Like, I'm not saying it's not hot now, but it's not the same. So, you know, I was out and I said, this is what I want to do. Like, I feel like if I do this, if I could master this, I don't have to, you know, actually, you know, lay down for it. I could just work for it. So I go and I'm like, I go to the club. It's like when it first opened. So literally no one's there. Like, it's probably a few people, hardly anyone's there. It's like a few people there, a few dancers, one that I fell in love with, and she just won't return my calls, or she hadn't returned my calls. I don't know what she's doing now, and I forgot her name. So, but, you know, it was just, I thought it would be a good idea, like, make some money, you know, maybe I could, I didn't know how to dance really, but I just figured my ass was big and it was real and my boobs were big and they were real. So, you know, other people seem to love me, so maybe I should go dance. So I go to King of Diamonds for Super Bowl weekend. So this is like probably Wednesday or Thursday. So no one had really gotten there yet, but I just wanted to go check it out. I had to try out. And then after I was accepted or chosen or whatever, I tried out and then I got it. So then I went back like the next day. I had like, you know, typical girl fashion. I had all my outfits together, all my shoes. I think I only had one pair of shoes, which I don't even know where those are, but I was super ready to go. So I pretty much go and I dance, and probably like 3 hours in, the only two people that I got dances from, like, I went on stage one time. It was so many girls that were there for the same exact thing I was there for. I went on stage once the entire time, and I was there for like 5 hours. 3 hours in, I get, of course, I attract what I attract, and I got this stud female, for lack of a better term, and she like just kept paying for dances. Like, that was pretty much my girlfriend for that hour or so that I danced for her, and she pretty much gave me all the tips that I made at that time. So once I had that, I think I ended up with like, I left with like $500. I was okay with that because my feet were hurting and I was tired. Kudos to any dancers, any strippers. You guys are the shit. I don't know how you do it. My fucking feet were hurting. I didn't want to stand. I didn't want to sit. Like, I didn't know what to do with my feet. All I wanted to do was go home or go back to my room. So I decided to, you know, that's going to be the last day. I ended up going the next day as a patron, and I probably spent like $200 of the $500 on somebody. Like, I was hella backwards. And then I ended up seeing friends there, and yeah, so much for that. So that was that. So, yeah, I decided that stripping was not for me. That was the one time that I danced. And I decided that I was going to, you know, go for what I knew. And I posted an ad. So I posted an ad, and possibly the first person that came to my room was an undercover, and I got arrested. And as he was going through my things, he saw that, what is this? I had ecstasy pills in my purse. And according to him, I had trafficked them with the intent on selling them because I had so many, but really I just had the hookup. Like, who's to say, you know, that I brought them from anywhere? So anyway, it's my word against theirs. So they basically hit me with, because I was from California, they hit me with trafficking. They hit me with, what else was it? Trafficking and attempt to solicit. Or trafficking MDMA, which is basically a fancy word for ecstasy. And I sat in jail for a few weeks, I think like a month, all the way in Miami. Eventually, my bond was ridiculously high. I don't even remember what it was. It was like, I want to say it was like $500,000 or something like that. It was just ridiculous. And then I eventually got out. Because I was from out of state, they wanted me to have collateral. They wanted me to have an ankle monitor. Like, it was just ridiculous. So eventually I get out. I have to go do this ankle monitor thing, and I was put on probation. I was all good. I went back and forth, fought my case. I come back to Miami to close my case. I end up getting probation. So, you know, I'm happy. However, I didn't do shit that I was supposed to do when I was on probation. I didn't pay the little fees. The only thing I did was register as a drug offender or something like that. And I can't even remember. But, you know, community service, which is like, if you have the opportunity to not do community service, just don't fucking do it. Because you're not going to go. Like, I know I didn't go. And if you have a life, like, they want you to, like, pretty much go every single day like it's your job and not get paid. So if you have an option, just don't do it. So I didn't do anything I was supposed to do. So a year later, I want to say it was like a year later, and I end up going to, I think I was still working. I'm trying not to run all these stories together, like, because like I said, I've kind of been, when it comes to that, I've kind of been in and out. So I ended up getting pulled over for, I had just got a new car. This was 2014. I had just got a new car. And this was in April of 2014. I just got a new car. I got pulled over because I had my paper plates still on my car. So because I had my paper plates, they assumed that the car was stolen, I guess. So they pulled me over. And lo and behold, I have a governor's warrant, which is like a huge warrant, basically making it look like you're fleeing from another state. And I was arrested and brought in to LA County. And then I was there, and then they said, well, the governor's warrant, blah, blah, blah. And then they were like, oh, but you have this other warrant out of Orange County. So then they sent me to Orange County. So I go to Orange County. And I took care of whatever was in Orange County, which probably, I think it was a solicitation case. And so from there, they were like, okay, well, you're in Orange County. I guess the law is that if you have a warrant in another state, they have 30 days to come get you. So basically you have to sit there like a duck in jail, in county jail, and pretty much see whether or not you're important enough for them to come get you. So as luck would have it, I am very important. So they came on the 30th day, two Dominican women, as Miami would have it, and they came and picked me up. I got transported on a plane in a paper suit similar to what they, if you've ever, like, if you've ever been to jail or know anybody that's been to jail, when you leave jail, they give you this horrible paper, like, it's kind of like a outfit. It's kind of like what they put, like, your, I don't know. I want to say that I've gotten, like, a purse, and it's been that kind of, like, weird material. So anyway, so they put, it's like some package. It looks like packaging or something. So they give you that, and then you leave. I'm in the airport, LAX, wearing this fucking suit. And I maybe not been, it might have been the Orange County airport, not sure, but either way, I'm at the fucking airport in this suit, and I'm like super, if talk about humbling situations, probably the most humbling situation I've ever been in my entire life. And I was then transported back to Miami. I was there for I ended up just, they offered me 7 months. Well, they offered me, I think, 9 months, and then it had calculated to 7 months if I, and I would be completely done with everything. So at the time, it was the best case scenario, and I just took it. And I took the time, and I was there for 7 months. And it was very, it was probably, if it hadn't been for the 7 months that I was there, I probably would have kept doing certain things for money. I can't say that I would still be, you know, a whole hoe. I would probably be like a partial hoe. But yeah, so after I went, like, that experience is just like, if you've never been to jail, or if you've never been to, I don't know, prison, or it's just a very interesting situation. I have a lot of friends who have been, my family members for sure, who have been in and out of jail for years. And I honestly don't understand how, after that, like, that's the longest I've ever been in jail. I think before that I was in jail for 30 days before. And I think before that, for the battery case, I was there for 12 days. Each time I was there, it was because of me. So it was because I was irresponsible with other cases, I always had like some type of warrant or something, and I ended up being there. I just recently did 24 hours at county because I wanted to take care of one of my cases. And just being there for that day, I was like, I don't know how I did it. Like, when you're young, like, you're liable to be in some stupid ass situations, and you'll look back like, how in the fuck? Like, it just doesn't make sense. But yeah, being there, and then it's crazy because you see the same characters every time. So if I could break down all the characters, we'd be here all night. But for one, there's always the vet, like the person, we call them public pretenders or whatever. And they're always the person that has been coming in and out. So they, like, know everything. Like, they know how long you're going to be there. They know if you don't know anything, they know it. They know when you're going to go to court, when the judge is going to see, what the judge is going to say, what all the definitions of everything on the little paperwork they give you. They supposedly know all that shit. So there's always that person, no matter where you are, no matter what jail, there's always that person. Then there's always the person who's never been to jail before. Ironically, I remember there was moments when I would cry or break down, but there was never a moment where, like, I broke down to the point. Like, I mean, when I say break down, I mean, like, cry because I either missed my dog or my mom or something like that. But to actually, like, people lose their fucking mind. Like, some people, I'm not a claustrophobic, so I can only imagine if you're claustrophobic what that would be like. I'm not really a germaphobe. Like, I pay attention to certain shit. Like, I carry hand sanitizer. But for someone who's, like, super, like, on some monk shit, like, it's probably one of the hardest things you'll experience. There's a lot of misconceptions about jail, or people that have been to jail. There are a lot of, you know, there's people that break the fuck down, and they're, you know, they've never been in jail before, never been in trouble. They're usually the people that are in there for a DUI, like, and they'll lose their shit because they're bailout paperwork isn't coming fast enough, and then they just like lose their mind and they keep asking questions and you just want to sock them in the face. Then there's the people, there's really good people there. Like, there's some people that have been in and out all their life, and then there's people that have certain things happen and why they end up there. There's people that have been coming in and out that just, you know, their lifestyle just kind of doesn't prevent them from like not going. So I would say that there's a lot of, it's weird because there's a lot of love there. So like, you have people who've never been there, or people that like you could tell are like lacking or coming off of drugs, or like there's this one lady, I know her last name is Green because we all go by last names, and her last name was Green, and she was like coming down off of, I'm assuming, heroin, and like she just smelled really, really bad, and like no one wanted to be in the room with her. It was just like super horrible. But when she started to come off, like every, like her skin complexion was starting to come back, her hair, like she finally had the energy to go take a shower, so her hair wasn't all super greasy, her nails started to come back, like everything, like you could see this transformation. Then she starts like, you know, talking to people, and she's starting to gain weight again because she's eating everybody's food. And it's just kind of like a beautiful thing. It's sad because I'm pretty, like, I think honestly, when I went back to court in Miami, I met her in Miami. When I went back to court for my case, I saw, like, she was out, and I saw her, like, outside the court, not going to court. She was, you know, on the streets. And, like, I was, at first I wasn't going to say anything because I'm like, that's weird. Like, somebody calls you by your last name, and it's like, whatever. But I said her last name out loud. Like, I was like, Green. And then she's like, hey. And then I don't know if she recognized me or what, or if she was just so high she didn't care, but in that moment I was just like, fuck. And then I'm just thinking, like, it's the same shit, so it's the same cycle. Like, people keep getting put back in the system. If they're on drugs, you keep putting back in the system, and then, you know, it's not, it doesn't faze you at some point. And then same thing with prostitution. Had I not gotten out of the life, like, there's a chance that I probably would have kept going to jail, and they would have kept giving, either keep giving me more time, or I would just continue to have to pay all these fines and everything. So, yeah, I used to be on it. Like, I used to, this was my life. So it kind of comes with the territory. The shit that you do gets you in the situations that you're in. So that was just one of the things that I've learned to accept. If I'm, you know, the funny thing, like I said, is that no time that I've been on the street, probably because I was hiding most of the time, like trying not to be seen, because I just didn't, that, I never could, like, adjust to that. Like, and it wasn't even about someone seeing me. It was just like, I never wanted to do it. Like, I don't think anyone wants to hoe, but if you have to hoe, there's obviously, everyone wants to be the escort / sugar baby of the hoe spectrum. Like, no one wants to be on the street. No one wants to, you know, take numerous calls on the internet. Everyone wants to be the Julia Roberts. Well, she was on the street, but everyone wants to be, like, I don't know, the back china of hoes. Like, everybody wants to be the rescued stripper or something. I don't know. But no one wants to be that girl walking the street. And I totally agree. I didn't want to be her either. So I never actually got arrested that way. I got arrested when somebody comes to my room. One time I was in Hawaii, and the guy literally talked my ear off. We had the most amazing conversation for, I want to say, almost an hour. And then he, like, because I was just, all, regardless of what I was doing, I was always me. This is the exact reason why even some of my previous clients are still my friends to this day. It's weird, but that's just what the fuck is. So, I was always just me. So we were talking for almost an hour, and when I was in Hawaii, and he literally he's like, I'm so, like, I honestly think someone had to call him, like, what the fuck is going on? Are you okay? For him to remember that he was here to arrest me. And someone was like, someone must have called him or paged him or something. And he's just like, I'm so sorry. And then he pulled out his badge and arrested me. So I've been in some, like, weird ass fucking situations with this life, and I can't honestly say that I don't like to say that I regret certain stuff, but I definitely have moments where I'm like, damn, like, you've been through a lot of shit. Like, not even just the prostitution and, you know, you're selling your pussy or whatever. You know, just having everything that comes with it. The going to jail, that might be traumatic for someone. For someone else, that might be like, oh, well, shit, I've been in and out of jail since I was 15 or something like that. But then, you know, I have friends who they were like, oh my God, I have to turn myself in for tickets and it's going to be like, they said they might keep me for 10 days. And I'm just like, girl, go ahead and go. It's nothing. Like, everyone has their, you know, their level of trauma that they have. And it's okay. It's perfectly fine. Everyone goes through shit. I don't know what the stats are, but it's a lot of people who go to jail. And I just want to point out also another fact, like, it's not all black people in there. Every single jail I've been to, and that sounds really, really bad, but I don't care. Every single jail I've been to, whether it's been Orange County or Miami or here in LA, every single jail I've been to, it's predominantly white. We're like the minority in that situation too. So it's a lot of, you know, it opens your eyes to like a lot of shit. Like, some shit just makes you super cultured. Like, that's just what it is. You have to kind of embrace every experience, good or bad, and then turn it for your good. I also met a lot of amazing women in jail. I had a couple boos. I think I had like my whole jail experience, I probably had two women that I had like little crushes on. I don't think I ever had like actual sex with them. I diddled someone Skittle in jail. That was pretty much it. And other than that, like, I didn't do anything else. I can't really remember. But no, I diddled a Skittle. That was it. And it's very, when you're trying to have sex in jail, it's very few and far between. Like, you have to calculate it perfectly because you have to do it when the guards are busy or distracted. Miami is super easy because here in LA, the sheriffs are the guards. Out there, they're like COs. So they don't have, it's just weird. It's just different because it's kind of like if your auntie had a job as a security guard and she works at a jail. Like, that's what going to jail is like in Miami. They all fucking know each other. They all hang out on the weekends. If you were to go, like, I ran into one CO in Vegas and I ran into another at a bar or at a nearby bar when I got out of Miami. So it's like it's very interesting. Like, I've never ran into any jail personnel in LA. Maybe because LA is bigger, I don't know. But yeah, I had a couple of boos. You gotta calculate it perfectly. You gotta wait till people are busy. You gotta, you know, do it at specific times. If you're very lucky, you'll end up being in the same room with someone that you're romantically interested in. For me, I still talk to one of the girls that I was my like jail boo, but we just text here and there. Maybe if I go to Miami, I'll see what happens. But like I said, it's different types of people everywhere that you like in every jail. You'd be surprised. It's actually people that you might find interesting. So, but yeah, I met a lot of good women. I met a lot of, you know, real women who have kids and their mothers and they have businesses that they had to like figure out what the fuck they're going to do with their business because they had got arrested and had no idea. Like, and some people are there and they're guilty as fuck. Some people are there and they're innocent. Some people, you think that they're innocent and then you go home and see them on the news and you're like, oh, that bitch was guilty. Like, it's just different situations. People are in there for white collar crimes. Some are there for, you know, hood shit. Like, you just don't, you know, it's a melting pot. So a lot of the women that I have the pleasure of meeting, we still keep in contact, whether it's Facebook. And it's beautiful to see, I could probably name probably three or four that I've kept in contact with via Facebook. And it's beautiful to just see them, like, they're reunited with their kids. They're not on drugs. They're not They're not committing fraud. They have actual fucking jobs. They're growing and glowing, and they're just amazing. Like, they have, they're in relationships. They're, you know, this is like when you're in that situation, you really get to know people. Imagine being somewhere with a group of people and you have no cell phone, hardly any TV or reality television, no people that you're familiar with. You basically have those distractions of the world taken from you. So it's like, of course, you miss all those things, but then you kind of make those group of people your family. So when I was there, there was arguments, there was fighting. There was a lot of love, a lot of, like, surprisingly enough, a lot of laughter. Like, kind of like Orange is the New Black is pretty accurate, minus all the drama. Like, as far as the drama between, we didn't have as much freedom because it's not prison, it's county. So it's not as much freedom and it's not as much, like, activity going on. So you'll have people click up. It's kind of like, to be quite honest, it's kind of like high school. And you have, like, the populars, you have the different races split up. Like I said, it's a melting pot of different types of people. I personally met a lot of amazing women, some of which I've kept in contact, some of which, you know, we fall off and life happens. And then some people are unfortunately still there, and I'm definitely praying for you guys. And I've written a few, like, just to reach out, because it's a very, even though it becomes your norm after so long, I've had girls, like, where I'll see that they've just, like, they've given me their Facebook for when they finally come home, and I'll check periodically to see if they're home or not. And there's one girl in particular that I was in Dade County with, and she literally just got home a little over I noticed that she was posting about 3 months ago. And she was in there with me in 2014, so do your math. And she had already been there. By the time I got there, she was already there for over a year. So this woman is, like, fighting her case. She had, like, 4 kids. That's, like, it's a lot. So for some people, it's just, and like I said, it's the norm. For some people, it's their first time, is, like, the last time because it's so much. Some people, it's the first time is the last time because they end up spending the rest of, you know, their adult life there. It's crazy. So, yes, for some people, it's super traumatic. For some people, it's, you know, just they'll never know it's traumatic because it's the norm for them. So they have to go through their own period of just, like, reevaluating the situation, and they have to, for those that have been away for a really long time and have to come back into the world and to be, you know, regular citizens again, they have to, like, reprogram themselves and get reacquainted with normal life, like life outside of jail. So it's hard for I would think it's hard for everyone, but some people make it look easy because they do it so often. So, yeah, that was my personal experience with jail. If you have someone who's in jail or who's incarcerated, it's easy to kind of look at it like, oh, they deserve to be there, whatever they did. Like, but there are a lot of people that don't need to be there. There's a lot of people that get more time than they should have gotten in comparison to other classes or other races. Or depending on who represented you, whether you had a public defender or a paid lawyer. So definitely don't prejudge. And regardless of why they're there, they're there. So a lot of times they need that comfort. And, like, I had my mother. I had my ex-boyfriend who had his own agenda. And then I had really good friends who kept in contact would put money on their phone so that I could call them collect. I had an amazing support system while I was there. So there's people that don't have that. There's people that I had to make fucking three-way calls for every time I would get on the phone because their family either couldn't afford to put money on their phone or they didn't care to do so. So, I mean, everyone has their perspective of people who are in jail, and everyone has their perspective on the inside looking out, and we should just all kind of understand each other's perspective and know that even if you're in jail, you're in jail. So, I mean, it's not a walk in the park. It actually sucks to be there, no matter whether you're supposed to be there or not, or whether you're guilty or innocent. It just sucks to be there. So if you have people that are there, you know people that are there, be there for them the best way that you can. I know that it's hard to stop your life for people who aren't physically around you. But trust me, that shit goes a long way. Also, if you have, like, if you're, you know, facing time or something, I don't know how the fuck you would hear this, but if you know that you maybe you're lucky enough to fight your case on the outside, like, just my word of advice would just be stay to yourself as much as possible. Don't get sucked into the whole politics of jail. That shit is stupid as fuck, because none of these people are going to help you get out, and none of these people are going to, well, most of them, they're not going to keep in touch when they're home. So I got involved with a little bit of drama because I was just, at some point I just got really, really bored. So I started entertaining shit that I know damn well I wouldn't entertain if I was in the outside world. But yeah, it's easy to get sucked in because you're bored. So you create your own world inside of the jail. So yeah, that would be my advice. This is episode 9. This completes episode 9. Next week is episode 10, which will be the last episode of this season, or this chapter rather. And from there, I'm going to be taking a break until, I believe, January 7th, which is, or January 8th, actually. And we're going to come back. I have no idea how long I've been talking, but that is my story. That is everything from my experience of jail. Of course, there's like little sub stories, but you can always DM me or something if you want to hear about that. Or maybe you're dating someone who's in jail and you want advice, just hit me up. It's fine. So if you're not already, follow the Dirty 30 Diary. That's the Dirty 30 Diary on Instagram, Facebook, and now I'm on Twitter. And also, if you're listening on Apple Music, go ahead and share, review, and rate this podcast. Positive ratings only, please. Thank you. And if you're on Spotify, make sure you click the follow button and subscribe, and also share. If you're listening on Radio Public or Radio Republic, sorry, and Stitcher, also subscribe and share and follow. And that's pretty much it. We're going to be back. I don't know why I always say we, because it's like, you know, it's just me for the most part. There might be a guest at some point. You never know. I always like to wait till the last minute. I'm working on not being a procrastinator anymore. So, yeah, go ahead and follow the Dirty 30 Diary on all social media. And thank you for listening.